Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Cirumalla from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. S.C. Mehta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Amitabh Bhargava, President and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Tarun Sinha, President, Technical Ammonium Nitrate, Mr. Mahesh Girdhar, President, Crop Nutrition Business, and Mr. Deepak Balwani, Head, Investor Relations. We will begin the call with opening remarks from Mr. Mehta, followed by comments on financial performance by Mr. Amitabh, post which we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. I now invite Mr. Mehta to share his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I hope my voice is clear, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. Very good afternoon to all of you, and I take once again a lot of pleasure in welcoming all of you for this Q2 FY23 earnings call of Deepak Fertilisers. I hope all of you have had a chance to look at the financial statements and earnings presentation uploaded on the exchanges and our website. At the outset, I am quite happy to underscore the good news that our Q2 top line grew by 52% and the bottom line by 195%, and similarly the H1. Additionally, our H1 bottom line surpassed the whole of last year's profits. As we were thinking and as I was looking at it, to try and see what do we need as a root cause or that delivered this positive play. Somewhere, you know, to look at it at a distance that what are the fundamentals that have been, you know, indicated through these results. I was wanting to share two from the outside in perspective and two from the inside out perspective. From the outside in perspective, what we see is that despite the huge raw material price hikes that we have seen over the last now year and a half, we have been able to establish a good pass-through in our finished products. Somewhere the larger picture is that the finished product prices have now set a new norm for price affordability among all our segments. This I see as a good sign over the long term that the resilience that the downstream of our downstream is also somewhere where the price affordability is of a new order, a much higher order. The second perspective from the outside in approach, if one were to take, I also see that the strong alignment with the India growth story that all our three businesses, the fertilizers, the industrial chemicals, and the mining chemicals, all the three businesses, the kind of strong alignment that is being seen with the India growth story is clearly validated. Despite the price hikes, we have seen no demand destruction. In fact, it would be the other way. These are the two at the fundamental levels that we see from an outside-in perspective that, you know, seems to have been established as we see the performance. From the inside out, if I look at it, that number one that I see is that, you know, all the hard work that we have put in setting up good IT systems and processes, the strength of those have been validated, as we were in a position to withstand all the volatility that we saw, the geopolitical uncertainties, the waves of uncertainties in logistics, availability, price upheavals. that the internal systems and processes have been able to withstand these, I would say, onslaughts and yet take advantage of, you know, these aspects which are reflected in the results. And the second aspect that I see is the strategy that we had, transformative strategy that we had, you know, been pursuing over the last couple of years, on and on, which is the shift from commodity to specialty in each of our businesses. It does seem to be bearing fruit and does seem to be giving us the very strong, I would say, foundation to further build on. Especially I'm happy to share that in our fertilizer business, as we moved from commodity NPK to SmartTech, which is, you know, a product which enhances the nutrient use efficiency, and then from SmartTech as we are moving towards CropTech, which is a more crop-specific kind of a grain. These efforts and the work that we are doing at the farmer level was also noticed by ADB, and ADB has come up with a unique blue loan kind of a thing for the first time in the country, where not just debt funding but also certain grants for the efforts at the farmer level is something that they have signed up with us. And that gives a very warm acknowledgement of the fact that, you know, we are in the right direction and that somewhere it is making an impact at the bottom line at the farmer level. So that was something I thought I should share. Now, of course, you know, Q2 otherwise typically is typically a dull kind of, you know, quarter because of rain sometimes impacting the chemical business or the mining activities. And this time, of course, the rains at some places were excessive, so which also impacted the fertilizer sector. But as we move out of this, you know, Q2 and look at the H2 going forward, we now see somewhere, you know, the settling down of some aspects of the price volatility between raw material and finished product, despite the fact that there is still uncertainty on what will happen between Russia-Ukraine. But at least it is something that is getting factored. And as it settles down, we see that, okay, there will be some plus minuses a month here and a month there, but it should then finally settle down at a decent level. And we will continue to make, you know, further and further deeper inroads through our strategy of moving from commodity to specialty. And that is something which we are now seeing further and further reflected in terms of somewhere we are looking at solar grade nitric acid, for instance, or in the mining sector, you know, more and more TCO projects, total cost of operations, where one looks at not just products but services and then looks at the total impact in terms of the whole project, which gives, you know, a much better traction and a brand creation for the mining sector products, technical ammonium nitrate. And similarly, on the fertilizer side, I see, you know, more grades of CropTech that have been approved by the government, and now gradually it will be showing up at the marketplace and creating its own inroads specific to those crops. Last but not the least, I'm also very happy to share that the ammonia project execution is going on full steam on a very good fast track. And it's now on to the final, no holds barred, you know, final last 5 or 6 months of commissioning, pre-commissioning, commissioning activity. And very soon, you know, that should be available to give a very strong foundation to all the downstream by way of, you know, availability just across our complex, you know, pipeline availability of ammonia for all the downstream that are there. So with these broad thoughts, I'll hand you over to Amitabh, our President, Finance and CFO, to take you through the details and then, of course, you know, share clarifications to all your questions. Amitabh?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mehta. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining the Deepak Fertilizer and Petrochemicals conference call to discuss the Q2 FY23 results. During Q2 FY23, we reported a total operating revenue of 2,719 crores, an increase of 51.7% YOY compared to same period last year. Our operating EBITDA increased to rupees 495 crores compared to rupees 212 crores in Q2 of FY22. Operating EBITDA margins increased to 18.2% from 11.8% during Q2 FY22. Our net profit for the quarter recorded a growth of over 195% YOY to rupees 276 crores with margin of 10%. During the quarter, our manufactured chemicals business recorded a revenue of rupees 1,533 crores, an increase of 55.5% compared to Q2 FY22. Manufactured pharma chemicals recorded a revenue of rupees 454 crores, an increase of 22% YOY. Manufactured mining chemicals, that is our TAN, TAN business recorded a revenue of rupees 920 crores, an increase of almost 146% YOY during the quarter. On YOY basis compared to Q2 FY22, all the key indicators of TAN business such as coal and overburden production, cement and steel production recorded a healthy growth. That said, I'm sure you would notice that there was obviously a reduction in margins quarter on quarter, which was due to Q2 being a lean season, as is the case pretty much every year for chemical segment in general. That is both TAN and acid basically reduction in demand due to monsoon effect. This year, availability of more acid in the market also came due to the extended shutdown of the downstreams of our co-producers in the market. This further reduced our volume and margins in acid. TAN lean season is in India, which is because of monsoon. It coincides with the lean season in, say, other geographies like Russia and Brazil, which are the other major consumers of TAN, which also resulted in reduction of imported fertilizer, which is fertilizer-grade ammonium nitrate, which also had an effect in terms of the margins in Q2. Our crop nutrition business resulted in Q2 FY23 revenues of 1,181 crores, an increase of 47.3% YOY, with segment margins of 7%, as cost of production had obviously gone up due to the sharp rise in the prices of raw materials. During the quarter, our IPA plants operated at a capacity utilization of 54%, and both acids and TAN operated at 81% and 92% respectively. In the crop nutrition segment, nitrophosphate and NPK plants operated with utilization levels of 66%, and Bensulf plants operated at 74% utilization level. Net debt as of 30th September was 1,921 crores, with net debt to equity of 0.43x. ADB, as Mr. Mehta was mentioning, has recently granted a $30 million debt assistance and a $500,000 of technical grant for our farm efficiency initiatives, which I think Mr. Mehta elaborated earlier. We have already spent capex of about 3,163 crores as on September end on greenfield ammonia plant and 422 crores on the TAN project as on September end. Out of this, the company has already infused equity of about 1,587 crores for ammonia, and the entire TAN project capex so far has been done through equity infusion or our internal accruals. Promoters' pledge shares are now restricted to only 2.67%, and the non-disposal undertaking obligations, which you must note that this is not the pledge but non-disposal undertaking, is 3.66% of paid up share capital. With this, we would be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Nishit Shah from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Please carry on.
Yes. Sir, I wanted to understand how are the imports in technical ammonium nitrates now in terms of volume and pricing?
Okay. Is that your question? Is there any other question you have?
Yeah, I have other two questions also. So the second question is, I want an update on the debottlenecking of the TAN facility. And the third question is, how are the key input prices trending now, like natural gas, ammonia, polypropylene? That's it.
Okay. So on the first question, my colleague Tarun is also on the call. Tarun, if you can just take the first two questions, and then I'll come in for the third one.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Amitabh. Just to check with the moderators, am I audible?
Tarun, yes, I am.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so very quickly on the, thanks for the questions, first of all. On the imports of ammonium nitrate, so far this year has not been any unusual year compared to the prior years in terms of the quantum of imports that we have been seeing in the country. That said, the demand of ammonium nitrate in India is also seeing, you know, growth year on year. So it is not unlikely that as we try to reach towards the end of this financial year, maybe the quantum of growth, maybe the quantum of imports of ammonium nitrate in this year could be slightly higher than in the prior year. And that is in line with the growth of demand in the domestic market, while the domestic name manufacturers are continuing to produce to their capacities. And that links to your second question, which is about the capacity augmentation of ammonium nitrate. So as far as SmartChem Technologies Limited is concerned, and hence Deepak Fertilizers is concerned, we have actually implemented some of the measures to increase the capacity at our Taloja, which is the mother plant at this stage, you know, for us. And there are some more initiatives being undertaken to increase the capacity further, again, you know, in order to meet the ongoing growth of demand of ammonium nitrate in the country. And we have kept the various regulatory bodies and ministries informed of our intention and activities that are ongoing in relation to the capacity expansion at Taloja. Amitabh, over to you.
Yeah. So as far as the raw material price trend is concerned, while we've seen some early trends in H2, that is phosphoric acid, for example, prices have come down significantly. But the prices of other commodities, particularly ammonia, gas price, depends on what we are going to see in terms of Russia-Ukraine situation, and how Russia also reacts to it, because one of the other news that we have we've been gathering is also certain restrictions that Russia may put in terms of a certain additional export tax that Russia may put on various fertilizer and commodities. So it's difficult right now to gauge what will happen to the fertilizers in general, and also to gas price, because gas price, spot prices of gas obviously would also have a bearing depending on how the winter in Europe, which is we are still in the early stages, how that would pan out in the next couple of months. So the commodities, other than phosphate, where we are very clearly seeing the trend, downward trend,
the other commodities may have to, we'll have to see what comes out in coming weeks and months, depending on how the Russia-Ukraine situation turns out.
This is very useful, sir. Sir, I have one follow-up on our debottlenecking plan. So how much of the capacity have we already added? And going forward, how much can we add from debottlenecking overall?
So we have added nearly 33,000 tons. And okay. The second phase is on, and we would be able to come back in terms of the exact increase once we've completed that process.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Shares and Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on good set of numbers. So my question was on the fertilizer side. A new government rolled out a new fertilizer policy, one ration, one fertilizer. So can you highlight upon how that can impact us as a company on our margin side? And can you even help us to know the modalities of this policy?
So my colleague Mahesh is also online, so I'll request him to take this question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chabu, good afternoon. See, the One Nation, One Fertilizer circular has been received. We are also trying to understand how finally it will be implemented. In terms of policy provision, it says that some part of the fertilizer bag would have to contain certain government communication which is related to subsidy, and certain part of that can be used by the company to bring out their brand. So this policy was announced recently, and certain products have been started with that, and we are trying to understand the implication on other products at the moment.
So, prima facie is that we are coming under control of government for the pricing of this?
See, the prices of phosphatic fertilizers are governed by NBS scheme. So, as you may know, that there is a nutrient-based scheme by the government, whereby the government announces nutrient subsidy price for NPK and various micronutrients and sulfur on an annual basis. And in the last year, this was done twice for Kharif and Rabi separately. And depending on the movement of the prices, companies can fix the price. It's basically the nutrient-based policy whereby nutrient subsidy is fixed. That's the policy. Policy for urea is different, whereby it is more on a process based, and the government decides one price for the farmers.
Really helpful, sir. So my second question was regarding ammonia plant. Deepak sir, can you highlight upon the project? As you said, it is on schedule. So how about the cost? Is there any overrun in the cost? And next year we'll be able to start the production of the same.
Yeah, so we've been, now consistently for last couple of quarters, we've been giving the details even in our investor presentation on the total project cost and how much have we spent during the quarter. At the end of September, so while total project cost has remained the same in terms of what we've been sort of announcing for last couple of quarters, that is 4,350 crores. By end of September, we've already incurred 3,163 crores, and balance 1,576 crores is to be incurred. We are expecting the commercial operation somewhere in quarter one of FY24.
That's great. And so what about 10? How are the capacity ramping up and how is the demand right now?
So capacity, if you're talking about the new Gopalpur capacity that we have, we are now implementing, that would add additional 376,000 tons and it is expected to be completed by quarter two of financial year 25.
That project is nearly about 2,200 crore capex project, and we've already incurred 420 odd crores by the end of H1 this year. Overall, I think demand, my colleague Tarun just mentioned a little while back, that this year we are seeing an increase in demand because the overall year-on-year coal production and overburden production from public sector coal particularly, which is the largest consumer of TAN, has seen improvement. And that's any specific number, Tarun, you would want to mention over and above that?
Not at the moment, unless there are any specific questions around the numbers, then we can certainly speak about those. But broadly speaking, as you rightly said, the entire demand is being driven by coal sector at this stage, followed by, you know, the other minerals that India has got plenty of in terms of the mining activities of those minerals. And then certainly this growth is also underpinned by the infrastructure growth under the various schemes and policies of the government of India, which have been announced to build infrastructure in the country. And in most of those cases, there's a lot of rock blasting to be done, which requires explosives and hence technical ammonium nitrate. So all these sectors are combinedly driving the demand in the country.
For us, as you would have already noticed in our presentation, the year-on-year growth in volume in TAN in quarter two was about 14%, which is in a sense reflective of what's happening in TAN, TAN sector year-on-year.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So the question is on the TAN business, from a more medium to long-term perspective, how should we view the profitability per ton from the TAN business?
So as I was mentioning that as far as Q2 is concerned, it is a lean period in not just in India because of monsoon effect, but even in other large geographies which consume TAN. And as you know, TAN or the substitute of TAN, which is fertilizer grade ammonium nitrate, is essentially a fertilizer, and therefore the its relative I would say consumption vis-a-vis other nitrogenous fertilizer, it kind of decides the prices of fertilizer grade ammonium nitrate, and therefore the import substitute that we see in TAN in India also in a sense gets governed by that price, at least partially. There is also obviously the other domestic producers who also depend on demand supply, which is the domestic demand supply. They kind of set their prices. So a combination of all of this will decide the prices going forward. But I think that one larger aspect in TAN, which we were also, I was just mentioning, that there is also a level of impact that we are likely to see from what happens in Russia-Ukraine situation, because the prices of gas, thereby the prices of overall cost of production of TAN, as well as shutdown of some of these TAN plants in Europe because of these high raw material prices, will also have bearing on SCN prices. The third thing that I was mentioning, which very early we've just picked up the news that Russia is, given that the season is coming back, demand season or consumption season is coming back, Russia in general is looking at imposing certain export taxes on export of fertilizer, where TAN or FGAN is also one of the products. We'll have to see the combined effect of all of that. But Q3, Q4 in general, I would say should from a demand perspective, at least we are very clear that the domestic demand would again pick up after a lean season, and we are
given that dimension of the overall margin, we should hopefully see better quarters in Q3 and Q4.
Yeah, because this question is largely coming from historically the first and profitability that we witnessed for the TAN business. Current numbers appear to be significantly better. So just wanted to get a sense on that. Would it start to reverse to that over a more medium term? Or it's again a play of what happens globally in terms of energy cost in Europe, and that on the margin will decide the profitability for TAN business?
So I didn't get the first part of your statement where you seem to suggest that TAN margins have come down. Is that what you were alluding to?
So earlier TAN profit per ton used to be significantly lower than what it appears to be today. So just wanted to get a sense on do we start to revert towards that over the more medium term, or is this profitability here for some more time before we start to see anything happen on that? Because prices have obviously gone up and we've seen our spreads also increase significantly compared to historical last 7-8 years of per ton profitability.
So, see, overall margins are a function of both the finished good prices and raw material prices. Raw material prices have, as much as finished good prices have gone up in the last few quarters, so have the raw material prices. But we've seen a better pass-through of raw material prices in the finished good prices. And as so long as the demand in Indian context, as well as the demand for fertilizers, overall nitrogenous fertilizers particularly the fertilizer consuming geographies remains strong. As fertilizer grade ammonium nitrate also, which is essentially a fertilizer, would continue to have buoyancy as far as the prices are concerned. But we have to see, I mean, there are too many factors right now at play, meaning the prices of natural gas, prices of ammonia, and then, of course, the nitrogenous fertilizers. So a combination of that and also some external factors like what Russia does in terms of export and the export policy may also play some role. So I think while from a demand perspective, we remain quite bullish. We'll have to see how all of these factors would play out in terms of the future margins in TAN.
And so just the last question on the ammonia commissioning. So once that commissioning happens, what is the strategy in terms of locking the contracts for natural gas, and how should we view that?
So we are looking at both domestic gas as well as a part of it LNG. Domestic gas, as you know, that there are some gas options have come in in the last quarter as well, and there are some more expected in the coming couple of months. So we look to tie up the part of that gas from domestic sources, and the balance we are in discussion with LNG suppliers. So it's a combination of the two.
And the total requirement for natural gas would be how much at full utilization of this plant?
About 1.2 to 1.3 million cubic meters per day.
Yeah. Sure, sir. Thank you so much. That's helpful. All the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Smitesh Seth from Radiant Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, this ammonia project is entirely for the self-consumption only, huh?
Yes.
So suppose if the project is on schedule, so in May, then it will take how much time for a test run?
But your voice is breaking.
One sec. So how much time will it take for trials and test run, and then full production capacity ramp up? When do you think, sir, will start?
Smitesh, sorry to interrupt you, but once again, your voice is still breaking. May I request you rejoin the queue, please?
Yeah, sure. I'll rejoin the queue.
Thank you. The next participant is Amarjeet Gupta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I wanted to know what is the total import of ammonia we do in a financial year?
Give you the numbers. Any other questions you have?
Yeah. And then, how are we going to supply ammonia to our Gopalpur project?
Gopalpur project, we have, as part of the project, we have a tie-up with Gopalpur port, where there would be an import terminal for ammonia, and then we would have an ammonia tank at our project site. So it will be essentially imported. What the Taloja ammonia project would essentially do is cater to the requirement on our western part of India, that is Taloja and Dahej.
Amarjeet, do you have any follow-up question?
Actually, I was waiting for the figures of the import of ammonia.
Yeah, so so roughly about 300,000 KT, and then of course we have our own old capacity.
So will there be some surplus ammonia for this plant?
So, like I said, we have our own ammonia that we produce, which is which has a capacity of 128,000 tons. So, we produce some ammonia from our own plant. We have import, which I just mentioned, and we also procure partly from other domestic players. And you know that we are, our fertilizer capacity is on a ramp up. Our capacity utilization and fertilizer are currently at about 67-68% as that would ramp up. Our basically the Taloja production would largely get consumed in our West Coast plants, basically Taloja and Dahej. But as you know, the part of the capacity is at surplus at any stage. We are also in a position to sell it domestically, because India is a significant importer of ammonia, and in the past we have sold surplus ammonia in the market, domestic market also.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Vidit Shah. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My first question was on the ammonia plant. When the plant had initially planned and announced, you were expecting about $230-$240 per ton of benefits versus current import versus the import costs back then on the plant. So in terms of numbers, and given that the plant is just 4 to 5 months away from commissioning, and given the current industry scenario, are we still expecting similar benefits, or are these going to be significantly higher than before? And if so, then how much? And my second question was on the solar grade nitric acid capacities. How much of overall volumes would these constitute, or even other specialty nitric acid constitute, and what would be the margin accretion due to these move towards these products?
So as far as ammonia margins are concerned, based on current prices of ammonia and the likely gas prices that we are looking to tie up, the margins are likely to be significantly better. But I think it will be fair to say that a much better estimate or more accurate estimate can be assessed on our end, and we can inform also the stakeholders once we have clarity on our gas prices. As we speak, the gas prices are at current prices of ammonia. To get, let's say, $230-$250 of delta, we can afford significantly higher prices of gas. But our tie-up, likely tie-up, is going to be at much better prices as we are discussing with the supplier. So we'll give a better estimate maybe by next quarter. I think we'll have a much better estimate. As far as your other question is concerned, what was the question?
Solar
grade, as of now, we are looking at roughly about 6,000 to 7,000 tons a year kind of a volume. But depending on as the demand picks up, we have the ability to expand the capacity. Pricing wise also, a little early for us to, we've just done a trial run. And therefore, pricing-wise also, maybe by next quarter, we should be in a position to give you a better estimate on additional margins coming out of this grade.
Okay. Thanks, and I'll get back in queue.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prashant Pani from TCS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Good, sir. You're audible.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So, sir, thanks for the opportunity for me to ask a question. So, sir, like, I recently heard some protest in the Odisha project, which is near to Ganjam district. So, still that the protest is going on or the work is resumed and it is going continuing?
So we have, I think we have also reported and we have given some photographs also as part of our investor presentation. The piling work has started. There were some, I would say, local triggers. There were certain issues which were more linked with the overall SEZ and earlier, I think, issues, compensation issues which were there. I think those government has sorted out. So these the protests that you would have picked up are not specific to our project, but are to a larger the SEZ there. And as far as our project is concerned, we are getting support from local administration, and our work has commenced, and we have already, in fact, shown some progress through photographs also in our presentation.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So, sorry, like, I couldn't say, but I, as I'm from Odisha, I saw, like, 1 week before some protest was there. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it. That's for my.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amitabh Bhargava for closing comments.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your participation. For any further queries or clarifications, please do get in touch with our investor relationship team. Have a good day and thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.